Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as he often does on afternoons such as this one, would be senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
All right, then. So, time to talk about, you know, this time of year we kind of get to wanting to talk about our favorite stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's fun and easy.
And it gives hints to certain significant others and family members and friends of what to get us for Christmas or any other kind of holiday. It's Christmas for me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could say Hanukkah, but I'm not Jewish.
Well, there you go. But it's all over the world now. People are, you see ads everywhere about stuff. You know, we could buy this stuff and electronic gizmos and gadgets. You know, our bailiwick is one of the biggest segments of the economy around this time of year because
right.
We do a lot of business.
So
this year we're not really doing a gift guide so much as we are talking about some of the favorite
things that we have received.
Gotten.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a listener write in, and unfortunately I have misplaced the email, but we had a listener write in and ask us
behind the couch
what our favorite tech gifts were. Actually, our favorite pieces of tech total. But that's a huge category. So Chris came up with the brilliant idea, like, hey, the holiday season's coming up. How about we talk about our favorite tech thingies that we have received as gifts on the holidays?
Yeah, and part of the reason I did that was because some of the biggest tech stuff I've ever owned, I never got as a gift. And I thought some of the coolest tech stuff I got wasn't really gadgety enough. So I figured this worked out.
Yeah.
It'd be a little different. We'll cater to the geek squad.
Right. We're not talking just about gadgets we opened up the category a little bit so that it'll be a little easier. So let's take a little walk down memory lane and chat about some of the stuff that we got as, we were going to start with some stuff that we got as kids that kind of sort of falls into the toy slash tech line and work our way up from there. Now, we're not going to obviously go year by year because
No. That would take too long.
Chris and I have lived far too long for that.
Yes. Thanks a lot for pointing that out.
God, I feel so old.
Yeah.
Start. Go.
Okay.
Do your first one.
Okay. The first one I really wanted to bring up was something that I got under the tree at my grandmother's house when I was, I think, 8 years old. And that would be Milton Bradley's Big Track and the Transport. Have you never seen this thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I am impressed. You know, well, I am older than Jonathan is. However, someone will write in and vindicate how cool this thing was. Big Track was T-R-A-K, however.
Okay.
And Big Track was, and in my opinion, this totally fits into tech stuff though, because it was a programmable tank, sort of like a tank of the future.
Holy cow. Look at that thing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it would allow you to do, and it had like a numeric keypad on the back, on the top of it.
Yeah.
It did. And, it would allow you to give it a simple program. Like you could say, I want you to go left. I don't know that it had a specific, distance programmed into it. You had to kind of go, okay, I want you to go ahead five somethings and turn left. And then I want you to go forward seven somethings. And by trial and error, you could program it to go into the next room and shoot its little laser cannon at the dog, the television, your parents, some siblings. Random corner. And then you'd have to take it back in, reprogram it to turn the other direction. But it also came with a really cool transport, which you could plug into the back. And it was like a dump truck thing because, you know, every robotic tank needs a dump truck thing that goes in the back. But you could also, you know, go in, turn around, shoot at the dog, and dump the three Nerf balls that you piled into the back of the transport. Anyway, really cool, basic programming thing, and really techie. Sort of went along with the Starbird, which I also got one of. No programming involved there, but it did have an accelerometer in it so that, you know, cause you turned it on and it made engine noises and it was basically a little spaceship. You could modify it by taking little spaceships on and off of it, you know, sort of Voltron like you could plug it in. But, if you tilted it up, the sound would get, you know, higher in pitch to make it sound like it was climbing or, you know, you turn it down and it would go lower so you could fly it around the house, annoy the living daylights out of your parents. And, you know, they were sort of related because they were both from Milton Bradley.
But, nice.
Now owned by a much larger company that starts with Hasbro. Both neat tech gizmos I got as a kid. And I love those things. Drove my parents crazy.
Wow.
And I still have all of that stuff.
You know what that makes me think of?
What's that?
Okay. I wasn't going to start with this.
Okay.
Actually, this wasn't even on my list. It was only because after hearing you that it sparked a memory.
Okay.
I have the Blue Army Mephisto Rumble Robot.
I don't think I'm familiar with that.
The Rumble Robots, first of all, I have to admit, Rumble Robots are not very old. You see what the picture looks like right there?
Yeah.
That's him right there.
Okay.
So that's totally not interesting to all you audio podcast people out there. So go look up Mephisto, M-E-F-I-S-T-O.
Okay.
And it's a Rumble Robot. All right. First of all, interest of full disclosure, I got this gift maybe 4 years ago. So this is not a kid gift. This is a big kid gift. It's meant for little kids, but I have the mentality and emotional development of a little kid. So it worked out well.
Okay,
but this was a present to me from a friend of mine, a friend that he goes by the nickname Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Oz also has a Rumble robot. Oz, by the way, is at least 6 years older than I am. Actually, he's older than that, but I'm going to be nice to Oz. A person even older than I am went out and bought Rumble robots so that we could have robot fights. And that's what these things are. They're remote controlled. Rumble robots. They have an ability to both a physical attack and a little laser attack. And the way that you determine how strong your robot is you have collector cards that you scan.
Nice.
And you can scan up to, I think it's 3 or 4. I can't remember now. It's been a long time since we played with these. But you could scan 3 or 4 of these cards, which gives your robot certain abilities. Like it will actually determine how fast it can move.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a speed of 5, it's going to go much faster than someone who has a speed of 3. And you, so you could determine how hard it strikes, how fast it moves, how powerful its laser is, how good its defenses are, and put your robot in battles with another robot. You could also buy supplemental armor and weapons, which I did, so that I could defeat my hated opponent.
We really should have entitled this one Tech Toys, because I have a feeling we've started a thread
that
here.
We're just going to go through all the different toys that we've owned. Yes, this was a gift that a gift that my wife would say it's the gift that keeps on taking, as in it takes her sanity bit by bit as her husband rolls the robot around and essentially whenever Oz was not over for us to have our robot wars, I was using the Rumble robot to antagonize our dogs. Which was hysterical.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Anyway, that technically was not the one I was going to start off with. I was actually going to talk about a collection of the stuff that I got as a kid that really got me kind of interested in technology in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So now I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
So I grew up just as the merchandising craze began for like where the cartoons and the toys were really closely tied in together.
Yeah.
So, you know, started by Star Wars.
Okay. Right.
Star Wars, Lucas, he hit on something brilliant. He managed to hit that merchandising nail right on the head.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I did own a lot of Star Wars toys, including the Millennium Falcon, mm-hmm. which I count as a gadget because it made noises and it was awesome. And I had, you know, I had like a TIE Interceptor, I had a TIE Fighter, I had the X-Wing Fighter. I didn't have a Y-Wing.
No.
I need to talk to my parents. Yeah. I didn't have an AT-AT either. That's what I always wanted, was one of the AT-ATs, the huge AT-ATs.
Yes.
The all-terrain attack transports. Did not have one. A friend of mine did, though, and we used to have amazing battles. So, but I also was a big He-Man fan. I don't make apologies. I was a kid. I had no sense of taste. So I had a Castle Grayskull. I had a Snake Mountain. And I was a big Transformers fan. So I had lots of Transformers, which also kind of sort of count as gadgets, but not really. Because, they, you know, again, it was something that got me interested in science fiction and gadgetry in general. These toys. Yeah, and they're robots, which eventually led to my enjoyment of the Rumble robot. But these were little tiny building blocks upon which I began to build my obsession for gadgets and tech.
I just thought of something. Thank you for that, because I actually just thought of something that fits perfectly in that.
Oh, dear Lord. This is going to be like a 50-minute podcast, isn't it?
No, I will mention it briefly.
Okay.
But do you remember those kits that you used to be able to buy at Radio Shack? I don't know if you could still mm-hmm. do it, but the ones with the little springs and wires.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they were a very simple computer.
Ah, yeah.
And you attach a wire to spring 6 and you move it over to other stuff. Now they have stuff like this in, Make Magazine. Mm-hmm. They have much more advanced versions of this where you can, you know, basically pull the wires in and out, and it's not the same type of thing. This was really aimed at kids, but you could make like a basic AM crystal radio receiver thing, and you could, you know, modify it different places. I have no idea where that thing went. I have most of my toys from childhood, but I don't have that. But I do remember getting that early on, probably when I was, you know, 10 years old or something like that.
Yeah, right around that same time, same age, not same time, but when I was about 10 years old, I got one of my favorite gadget gifts of all my childhood, which is weird considering the fact that I never really developed a proficiency with it.
Okay.
It was a Casio keyboard.
Oh, yes.
The musical keyboard, not the computer keyboard. We're talking about a little electronic piano.
Oh, please tell me it wasn't the little itty bitty one with the, you know, chiclet keys.
It wasn't that. No. It was a model. It was a step up from that. No, it was that one.
Oh, golly.
No, it definitely had the horrible pre-programmed electronic drum tracks. Yeah, and I can't remember what the demo song was anymore. But I could only play by ear, and because I never learned to really play the thing. But I really enjoyed it. And I remember that I was a big fan of learning different songs. Somehow, I mean, I think it's just a law that if you own a little electric keyboard, eventually, even if you've never heard the song before, you eventually learn how to play Heart and Soul.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens, because that was one of the songs I learned to play by ear. I don't ever remember hearing that song before I had the keyboard, and I don't know how the hell I encountered it. But I learned how to play it.
And thankfully, it has replaced – I mean – Heart and Soul is at least timeless. When I was around a lot of people who were playing around with those, it was Axel F. From Beverly Hills Cop.
I did learn how to play that. I learned how to play the Empire March from the Empire Strikes Back, the Imperial March. I learned a few pretty lame songs. I also was very envious of my friend who lived down the street because he had one of the electronic keyboards that allowed you to record a soundbite, and then it would play it back at different pitches, which, of course, meant that we spent hours of fun giggling over saying naughty words into the synthesizer and then making it play it at chipmunk and super stoner speeds.
And, yeah, you know, we have a whole lot of people
entertaining
who are our younger listeners who are just going, dude, I could so totally do that. You just gave them all ideas.
There's nothing like playing Jingle Bells using an expletive at different pitches as the only note through the whole thing.
Okay, so I'm going to change the subject now.
Okay, go ahead.
In case any of their parents are
listening. Actually about to start giggling all over again.
I'll bet you are. I wish I could remember the name of the manufacturer because it wasn't a brand name. But I got one of my very first portable cassette player I got as a gift. And it was really cool because it's not cool now. It was really cool then because it had a cassette adapter that would allow it to receive radio. So, I could take out the tape and put in this adapter and, you know, scroll the thing sideways and it would actually get radio, which was really cool. I used it for years and years. The paint wore off of it. Yes, it had paint. And
were they actually broadcasting radio back then?
Jonathan?
This is going to turn so ugly before the end of the podcast.
And in the not too even distant past, it was probably 5 or 6 years. Well, no, it was probably around 2000, 2001. I got my last portable device that wasn't an all digital device would be the RioVolt player from Sonic Blue, which was would allow you to play discs. Like I had a couple Discmen that I bought. Actually, I got one as a gift. My very first Discman was a gift, but the Sonic Blue was kind of cool because it would allow you to make a disc of MP3 files. So you could listen to a off the shelf CD, or you could listen to a CD of MP3s, which until I got an iPod was really useful.
Yeah, because it could have like 100 songs on there.
So that was kind of cool. It actually got stolen along with a pair of Denon headphones, really awesome headphones I got as a gift from my dad. And unfortunately, those were both stolen when my house was broken into. But anyway, those were all my music-type gadgets together.
Cool. Well, if I'm talking about music-type gadgets, there are really only two that I can talk about that were gifts.
Okay.
One was my very first CD player, which was a portable CD player. You plugged headphones into it. It didn't, or you could plug it. I guess you could have a mail-to-mail connector and plug it into an auxiliary for, some other radio. But it had no native speakers. Mm-hmm. It's just a little CD player. And I got it – it was probably a couple years after CDs came out. Now, guys, you got to remember, if you weren't around when compact discs first came out, compact disc players, like all new technology, were pretty expensive.
Yeah, they were.
That was something where I really wanted one, but at the same time, I knew that it was kind of an extravagant gift, so I felt badly about asking for one. But my parents did got me a refurbished, portable CD player for a Christmas gift a couple years after CD players had first hit the market. So they're still in the fairly expensive range, although they weren't extravagantly expensive at that point.
Right.
And I think that gift, I think they ended up really liking that gift for me because on subsequent Christmases, I would ask them for classical music CDs, which I don't know if you've ever gone shopping for classical music CDs, but you can buy like 50 for a buck. I mean, it's crazy how many you can purchase for a really cheap price. And so they were like, my sister would be asking for a new computer and I'd be asking for, I would like this Brahms collection. So that ended up being the gift that kept on giving. But the other music present that I received was my first MP3 player, which was a Creative Zen Touch 20 gigabyte. And you might have heard me talk about this once before. The Creative Zen Touch, what a heavy MP3 player that thing was. I mean, it felt like a brick of lead. But it was awesome. It held so much music. It was the first time I had ever had a device that could hold that much content. considering how small it was. And it had a little touch sensitive bar in the center that would allow you to scroll up and scroll down, although that did get a little wonky toward the end of its life. But that was a great device. I really enjoyed it, despite the fact that it did weigh just under a metric ton.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me because I wasn't actually done with my music gadgets. The very last one.
You lied.
Was my very first iPod, the click wheel, the very last black and white iPod, which is still running fine. Thank you very much. Battery life is terrible and I haven't had it replaced.
Inagua de Vida, you can't even get through the whole song.
It tarnish. actually, it's kind of hard to get through Inagua de Vida on a fully charged brand new iPod.
That's
kind of a long song.
It approximately lasts about as long as your average German opera.
No, I'm just teasing. No. But yeah, that was my, my first all digital player. And, coincidentally, just after my house was broken into, but, my wife and I exchanged iPods that year.
Here's your iPod.
Well, now we have a reason.
Nice.
Well, no, we got them engraved with our name. So,
sweet.
You know.
Yeah.
So now I'm going, okay, I need to recycle this, but it has my name engraved on it.
Right.
Darn.
All right. So, now someone will know my name.
Well, you never know. You have to run it through the shredder and it just makes this big mess.
Yeah, you definitely don't want people seeing how many, like, of the Wiggles songs you have on there or whatever.
I do have Wiggles songs on my iPod.
God, I was hoping you didn't. I was so hoping you didn't when I said that.
I also have children.
This is true. All right, so
never mind.
So game consoles. I've actually received three game consoles as gifts. Now, I own more than three game consoles, but only three of them were presents.
Okay.
That would be the Atari 2600.
Aha, me also.
And then I also got a Sega Dreamcast, and I got the Sega Dreamcast after the Dreamcast was already a dead product.
Wow.
So, but it didn't matter to me because the games were still awesome. You could pick up any used game for a song. And also,
that was really embarrassing going in and singing to those people.
Well,
but you could get anything.
I'm a ham. Like, I care. I'll go in and sing anywhere. People have to stop me from singing here. And then the third one was, the PlayStation 2.
Ah, yes.
Which I also got well after it had started to, they're still making games for it, so.
Yes, yeah. Well, I actually got mine, I bought my PlayStation 2, but, got one of the very last ones before they went to the new slim design. The 2600 actually wasn't a gift around a holiday or anything like that. It was one of those things that, I think my parents just decided to spring on me because they wanted to. And it was an occasion like, hey, you know what? I got a surprise. Here it is. So it counts. It's a gift. I also got a Sega Genesis as a holiday gift 1 year. So that was kind of cool.
If any of these sound unfamiliar to you guys because you're 14, go to the internet.
There are a lot of you who are 14.
Yeah, go to the internet and look them up and you can see what kind of crazy game systems these two old fogies like to play when they were kids.
I have another older gadget too, but it's not a game system.
What's that?
I got my very first PDA, personal digital assistant, for a gift 1 year, which was the Handspring Visor Deluxe, which ran on the old Palm operating system.
So a PDA, for those of you who don't know, is like a smartphone without the phone.
Yeah. Black and white, you know, I think, 16 shades of gray? I don't know. Anyway, it was a nice introduction.
Pale.
No, it was, yeah. My introduction to the world of handheld computing, because I hadn't ever had anything that was that advanced before.
Right.
But, you know, it was actually kind of a cool device because it allowed you to plug in cartridges with other programs on it from other manufacturers. Something that I feel like kind of got underutilized by a lot of people, but nonetheless, a nice idea. And, of course, Handspring went on to start the Trio line of smartphones. And then later was acquired by the company whose founders founded both companies, Palm.
Mm,
and,
right.
You know, then Palm went on to do other smartphones and stuff like that. But anyway, my very first PDA was a gift, and that was very cool.
Now, if we had just decided to restrict this to favorite games you've ever received as gifts.
Oh yes.
It would be an incredibly long podcast for me because I've received lots and lots of games as presents, which that's great because I love playing various computer and video games. But I decided to narrow it down to my two favorites, which have a theme in common. See if you can spot it.
Okay.
There is Sid Meier's Pirates, and this was the pirate game for the Apple II, actually, I believe.
That was the original Pirates.
Yes, the original one.
Not the recent remake.
Which I also own for the Xbox. But no, this the original one, which I think was for the Apple II. I don't think it was for our PC. And then the second one was The Secret of Monkey Island.
Okay.
Do you spot the theme?
Well, should I be is this for me to spot or is this for our listeners to spot?
Our listeners could totally spot it. This is for you.
Oh.
It's a challenge for you. It's no challenge for them. They're smart.
Well, seeing as how...
I like that. It took you a second.
I've never played either one of them in movie. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, the hint is in the title of one of the two games, and it's not Monkey.
Yeah. Okay, Sid.
No.
It'd
be Pirates, of course.
Yeah, I figured it was Pirates.
Yes, there's nothing like playing a game of Pirates.
But I was going to say, though, isn't there... Aren't there monkeys in Pirates, though?
No, not in the original one.
Okay.
No, I mean, maybe in some of the game art somewhere in the background, but no, there's no, like, it's not like Oregon Trail. It's not like you're sailing your ocean.
There are monkeys
like,
in Oregon Trail?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it's not like you're sailing between ports and you suddenly get a message saying your ship was beset by monkeys. It doesn't happen.
It should.
No, that would be awesome. So in the next Pirates game, Sid, if you're listening, in your next Pirates game, make sure you have a moment where just on by random chance, like if you were struck by lightning or something, you will get a message that just says your ship was beset by monkeys. Maybe you lose like half the crew and all the bananas are gone or something like that.
Yes.
So that's the representative game decided to choose. I mean, again, the list itself is exhaustive. It'd take forever to go through them all. But, if you guys haven't played Sid Meier's Pirates, there is a newer version out for computers and for the old Xbox, not the Xbox 360. And there may be for the other platforms as well. It's just I happen to have it for the Xbox. It's a fun game. It's not quite the same one that I played back on the Apple II, but, it's really faithful to the original, and it's interesting. The only thing that's weird is there's now a dance game included in the new version where you have to, you know, it's one of those where you have to time the button press to match what's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in the original version, the original game.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
little mini game inside of it.
I'm trying to think of my favorite just to choose one game that was a gift. I'll stick with the Sid Meier theme, and I'm going to go with Civilization 2, which was my introduction to Civ games.
Which I think it was a huge improvement over the first one.
Yeah, and a lot of people said that 3 was sort of a disservice to fans of 2.
Yeah, 2 was great, and 3 felt weird.
I liked 3, but I didn't like it as well as I liked 2, and I haven't played 4 because I just simply don't have time.
I know Tom Merritt dissed me when I said Civilization 2 was superior to Civilization, and so Tom, this is just calling you out. You're wrong. Civilization 2 was a superior game to the first Civilization.
Well, I've never played Civilization 1, so I will, you know.
Now, granted, it did still get a little irritating when you would use a tank to attack a pike, like a battalion of people who all they're armed with are pikes, and they would beat you. Because occasionally that could happen.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking, seriously, what did you do with that stick that destroyed this tank?
Well, they do have little, you know, maybe they found the exhaust port.
Yeah, exactly. Look, that exhaust port is got to be less than 3 meters wide. There's no way you can hit that.
You all know that I set him up for that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, many Bothans died for this podcast.
I'll return to the Bothans.
My last present that I received. Sticking with Star Wars really quickly.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned Star Wars early on in my childhood.
Yes.
So my parents, their memories are long. Obviously, they remember back when I was a little wee lad. Enjoying my Chewbacca. And that was not a euphemism. Don't write in. So they decided to give me a gift a few years ago. You've seen the lightsaber replicas, the ones that have the actual fluorescence where it lights up and makes all the noises and everything?
Yeah.
I have one of those. And it is the most awesome toy ever. That same buddy I was telling you about, the guy who got the robots, Oz, I called him over the day I got my lightsaber, and he drives up into the driveway and it's dusk, so the lights are down. I fire that thing up, and he's just like, oh, and we revert to, you know, 8-year-old boys. It's awesome. And then you can't help but run around the neighborhood going, wow, 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 and terrorizing other kids.
Well, other kids.
Well, as I said, we revert to that age. It happens.
Yeah, you know, back when Star Wars was first out, I don't remember if this was a gift, and it's certainly not very techie. I got an original Star Wars lightsaber. Oh, I don't know the original. It was an inflatable vinyl tube that, you know, was sealed like a balloon, mm-hmm. and it attached to a flashlight.
No, I had one of these too.
And it took, I'd give it maybe 6 minutes before it sprung a leak.
Yeah.
And I could never find the, I mean, we stuck that thing in the tub to try to, you know, inflatable. If you've ever done this with a bicycle tire, you know what I'm talking about. You know,
to find
you put
the
some
leak
soap
is.
On it, maybe on the seams, or, you know, stick it under the water in the bathtub. Never could find the leak on that thing. I still have the flashlight part.
Clearly, the force is weak
certainly weak with that toy. So did you want to mention anything that you wanted?
Yeah, we'll do this really quickly because this is running long. So yeah. This year, what I would like for Christmas as a tech gift. Well, you might remember last year I mentioned that I wanted an Xbox 360 or maybe a PlayStation 3.
I remember that.
That still holds true this year. Yeah. Someone did not get the hint. I'm looking at you, Jolly Red Elf, up there in North Pole land. I would very much like an Xbox 360 or a PS3. They're even better than they were last year, so there's more reason to buy one for me. I also would like a Nook, but apparently I'm too late for that, so I'm going to have to wait till next year before I can get a Nook.
Really?
I like the Nook design. Now, granted, maybe it's a good thing that I'll have to wait because I can read the reviews. The one thing I'm curious sure. about is the Nook. Of course, it's a e-ink e-reader, you know, sort of like the Kindle.
Yeah,
except,
mostly.
Except that it has a touch screen at the bottom. And that touch screen at the bottom, I'm wondering if that puts a bigger drain on the battery life. So I wonder how long the battery lasts for the Nook.
Well, it's color, so you know that one color little touch screen at the bottom is going to draw probably significantly more energy.
Which is why I want to know how long the battery life. Because the Amazon can last for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But how long can the Nook last? If the battery life is not that great, then I would prefer a Kindle 2 as opposed to the Nook. But I love the design of the Nook.
Yeah, I actually like all of the different major e-readers for different reasons. I wouldn't mind a Nook. I wouldn't mind a Kindle. And I wouldn't mind the Sony Reader, the touch version,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's got the touch screen
sure.
technology. And all, you know, I'm pretty sure all of them, at least the Sony one I know works with Mac, and I'm pretty sure the Kindle does too. You know, I would certainly want one of those, and I wouldn't mind one of the gaming system. I would like a nice pair of headphones. I kind of miss my nice pair of headphones.
Yeah.
I replaced the ones that got stolen in the break-in, but the case on them cracked, and it costs a pretty significant amount of money to have them sent back to the manufacturer and fixed.
I have to say, it is pretty sad to walk by Paulette's desk and see him wearing those massively huge headphones that eventually cut off all circulation to his brain.
Yes. What were we talking about again?
Let's see. He was wearing them just before this podcast. All right. Well, so if any of you are dying to buy your favorite tech stuff hosts a present, now you have an idea of what to get.
Not that you should.
No, I'm told over and over again that we're not supposed to solicit gifts. Although Stuff You Should Know has received several gifts, by the way. Yes, including liquor.
Really?
I am not joking.
Okay, then.
I am not joking. I'm not asking for liquor because I don't drink.
I don't really.
Yeah, we would just have to give it to the Stuff You Should Know guys. So I guess if you really love Stuff You Should Know, you can send us liquor and we can give it to them. But they're already drunk as it is. So,
golly, Pete.
What? No, I'm not right now. Well, maybe right now. They're not in the office. So who knows what those two are up to. But no, we love Stuff You Should Know. They're great guys. No, don't send us stuff.
That went on a lot longer than it should. Anyway, yeah. We should wrap this up.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with a little listener mail.
Okay.
This listener mail comes from Frank G, and this is overdue, so I apologize, Frank, because you are owed a kudos. Because Frank was the one who figured out what it meant when I said, Michael, let's drive to Congress. He figured out that it has a connection through the actor who played both the voice of Kit and John Adams in the musical 1776.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, it's the same actor, and he is brilliant in both roles. I kept on hoping that he would start bursting out into song as Kit, but he never did. So watch 1776. It's fun. It's a goofy musical. It'll teach you a little bit about the history of America. Some of it's accurate. Turns out the Founding Fathers did not regularly burst out into song and dance, but if they did, it would look a lot like 1776.
Some of them did not have much of a sense of humor to begin with.
Yeah, John Adams among them, actually.
Yeah.
But if any of you have any comments, questions, suggestions, you want to yell at us because we spent an entire podcast talking about stuff that we love, you can email us. Our address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And if you want to read about the stuff we talked about, I don't know what the heck is wrong with you, but I'm sure you can find many of the articles on howstuffworks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again about stuff that you care about really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.